Hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is Amanda Moxley, and I am the host of the Speak Your Way to Success Summit, where I have hand-selected today's best of the best of the best to share with us their top success strategies to speak, sell, and share your message on stage, video, and live streams to impact millions and make millions. And today, I have Chantel Adams with us, and she's the best, and you guys are going to love her. I'll go ahead and introduce her, and that way you know who she is. So Chantel Adams is a professional speaker, speech stylist, and courage igniter. Through the past 5 years, she has delivered over 800 speeches and added more than six figures to her business through speaking. Now she teaches women, entrepreneurs, how to own their story, write their signature speech, rock the stage, and get booked while adding more clients and cash to their businesses through speaking. Chantel is also about helping women get their brave on in life and business. She definitely walks her talk as she recently jumped off of an airplane, a perfectly good one, at 10,000 or and fell 10,000 feet to raise $10,000 to build a school in Nicaragua while getting 60 changemakers to co-author a book. Cool. The courage to fly and share their stories of courage with the world. She is on a mission to help entrepreneurs use their voice to turn their message into a movement. Welcome, Chantel.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you today.
Excellent. Well, you are quite the woman. I'm so happy that you're here. You're perfect for this. Tell us about 800 speeches in the last few years. That's a lot of talking.
It is a lot of talking. I've always loved being on the stage, you know, from the time I was a little girl. And I remember I was working in the schools, actually, and I was doing my day job and working with amazing, beautiful kids with special needs. And I remember people coming in and they either were rocking the stage and were so much fun but had no message, or they were delivering a great message but were as boring as heck and the kids could not keep their attention. So I thought to myself, it was that moment of like, I could do this. I could do this better. And so that's what kind of kicked me off into that realm of speaking and speaking professionally. For about 5 years, I was doing that, and it was about 175 gigs a year, and primarily in the education market, as well as to teachers and parents and all that good stuff. And then that's where I started to shift into the entrepreneurial space.
Wow. Okay. Wow. That's really cool. So I like how haven't we all had that moment? Like, I could do it better than that. No more. Like, let me do it. I love that. And then you just created a whole new career and a path as an entrepreneur since.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. So tell us, and I know you do retreats, and one of the reasons why we got connected, well, we've been friends online, but I know you have a great way to fill your three-day event, and I know you've done three-day events. So I want to kind of, you know, get in there and figure that out. And I also want to talk today about, for people listening, how do they start out speaking? How do they get speaking gigs, et cetera? So let's start with your event, and how did you fill it?
Absolutely. So I have done like the smaller, intimate, high-priced events. And so I had done several of those, you know, a three-day event, but it was with a small group and the ticket was a high-priced event. So I didn't have to worry about filling a ton of seats. And so I had done that successfully for a couple of years, loved it. And then I'm like, I'm going to do my first big three-day event. I jumped all in and was doing some of this, the normal promotional things of, you know, Facebook challenges, just sharing organically. And because I knew the value I was bringing, it was one of those things where, and it was this great price, I just felt like it's a no-brainer, it's going to sell. But it is a lot harder than you think to sell out a three-day event. And so one of the things I did the first year was to give those who signed up for my signature program, Center Stage, a free ticket, which was great to get an audience there. So I knew I had that core audience and then I could sell more seats after that. And one of the kind of mistakes I made is I started to feel a little bit of, I'm not selling enough. And I put all my eggs in one marketing guru's basket. Mm. And, you know, he promised the world we were going to sell at this event. We were going to sell 1,000 live stream tickets. I was like, okay, it makes sense financially to invest 20,000 in you if we're going to come out with, you know, 97,000 from live stream. So put all those eggs in that one basket. It was a fancy, you know, marketing funnel with the videos and the all the upsells, downsells, all that jazz. And we didn't sell one ticket through that whole marketing thing. So, you know, 20, $20,000 investment, 2 months of work into this marketing funnel, and not one single sale. We got a few on the live stream. We got about 5 or 10, but not one live ticket sale. And so I went back to myself and realized that I didn't have to try to do it like all these big gurus were doing it. I needed to come back to what worked for me, and that's personal outreach, getting people who are already involved or who are speaking, who are there attending, excited about the event, get them sharing, get them promoting, you know, and just for the sake of promoting, it doesn't have to be an affiliate link. They were happy to share, but I hadn't actually asked for that support. So being really clear that, hey guys, like this is an incredible event. How can we get this out there to your people? And so that was one of the steps, doing some more personal outreach, like I said, getting on the phone with people, really getting super clear on these are the benefits and adding more value to it. So it was a no-brainer. Yes, doing more local outreach as well, which is something that I hadn't really done because I'm an online business owner, right? And so doing more local outreach was something different and a different, but getting people on board. Another thing was getting great audiences, people that were local, had a great following locally. So networking events or organizers to be able to have either a table, to be able to take 10 or 15 minutes on the stage in return for them filling, you know, 10 or 15 seats as well. So when you can tap into kind of that local market, and I had people from all over the world, you know, Saudi Arabia, Switzerland, England, all over the place flying in. So even letting local people know, look, this is a big event. People are coming in from all over the world and it's right in your own backyard. So that was a shift. And then just again, getting my feet on the ground and just running with it and just reaching out to people, connecting online, sharing, doing all that that you would do for an online program, right? But just really being connected and in person, making that personal connection with people to get them there. Because it is, live events are an investment, right? Even if the ticket price is not that huge, it's an investment of time away from your business, away from your family, all the arrangements that go into it. And so instead of, I also changed my mindset. I realized that this is a big investment for people just because the ticket price is lower. There's the price ticket, the hotel ticket, all those things. And so in my mind, realizing that this takes more personal connection on my part. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want. And that's why we do a live event, is to have that a beautiful in-person connection happening. And so that's what it took to fill the event, not just a fancy funnel, but actually picking up the phone, calling people, connecting with people, getting out there and spreading that work.
Yeah, I love it. And so how many months or how long did it take you to fill your event?
So both times, so I've done it 2 times, the big 3-day event. The first year, I kind of did it trickling for a year, okay. Right? But really no big promotion until that last, it was honestly 2 weeks before my event. And I had maybe 5 paid tickets.
Whoa.
Sold.
What?
So that, yes. So, and I think I had like 50 people coming with the free tickets. Okay. And so I had, you know, I knew I had people there, but in those last 2 weeks, because I had spent all that money and time and energy on that one marketing tool that didn't work. So that's another big lesson, is do a lot of different things and get creative with your marketing and see what works. And so I ended up having another 50 people sign up in 2 weeks.
Wow. Were they from local?
No, a lot of them actually were still online. It was in that last big push where I was like, I'm showing up, I'm connecting, I'm getting on the phone with people. I did another Facebook challenge. You know, it was just about connection, connection, connection. Then in those 2 weeks before the event, so all of this, you know, promotion for a year before. So that's one of the shifts I did this last time, was I did a promotion right away after to people who had attended that time. Ooh. To sign up for the next one at an early bird price, a special price for them. So that got quite a few tickets in. I also made the decision I wasn't going to give any free tickets away. So that ended up, I raised the price. So raised the price, didn't give any free tickets away. And then that was all about, because the second time around, it's easier, right? People have heard about it. They've had amazing experiences. They're all talking about it. It was the buzz. So I did a promotion right away after the event. And then I went quiet for a while. I didn't promote anything until pretty close to the event. So just a few months out the second time around. And that worked really well, because people aren't thinking about an event in September necessarily in February or March, right? They don't. So just doing that big push of the event later on was what I did as well.
I like that. So awesome. I love that I've learned that my first event, I definitely invested like so much, and then it was so scary and all on the line. And you learn a lot from that. So don't be afraid that, you know, those of you who are like, I can't imagine, but there's a major breakthrough on the other side of that. So,
and it always, you know, it always works out. I think one of the things that we always have to remember is, you know, I was in the green, right? It all worked out. It was all good. And then I made great money on the back end as well. So it definitely paid off, but it is scary to take that leap up front. Yeah. But also knowing that I just had two clients do an amazing event and they didn't have anywhere near the amount of numbers that they hoped for. They had a smaller group, but actually huge transformation. And because it was so intimate and it wasn't, you know, it was a fraction of the numbers that they had hoped for, but because it was so intimate, they actually got more clients. They had these deeper aha moments. The community was so powerful that I know the next time they run it, it's going to just spread like wildfire because they got such beautiful results for these people because it was small and intimate. So there's always positives and lessons whenever you take that jump in.
Totally. And you don't have to have a huge event. You can have a small, so it doesn't have to be a certain way. So I love it. And then you decided to go within and do your own and follow your own. And so you went back to what works for you, which is personal connections. And then asking your people to actually, hey, will you help me? Because they're already there and enrolled and coming anyway. And they probably have best friends that want to come. And then the networking. Now, did you sell sponsor tickets to the people in your local community who had a table or a spot?
Right. So I didn't do as much sponsorship. I could definitely work on sponsorship next round because that's huge, right? To tap into that. But I did a lot of this event on my own and like the planning, the execution, the, all of that stuff. So I didn't hire out as much as I should have. Another lesson learned, but it was really, that was my last kind of thing with sponsorship on the list of like must do to do's. And so I didn't get a lot of sponsorship, but definitely like if you bring, you know, 10 people, you get your free ticket plus you get a spot on the stage, right? So I see that as sponsorship because they're getting that value opportunity. It's not that they're paying to come, but they're bringing that amount of people that is that money in. So it's kind of like they're paying to come, right? So, but they're getting that added bonus. So that was kind of what I did instead of a sponsored booth or table or those kinds of things.
Right, because you're managing, that's a lot to manage. And I've done that myself where I've managed it myself and it's just, or I'm not, but you know, I have team, but I'm like basically the controller behind everything. So,
yeah.
And then I've done the very expensive event team and then I've done like the less expensive one. So you do it all and you figure out what works. So now this 2 weeks out, that's amazing. So then you got all these people 2 weeks out. And I love that because you were in a high sense of urgency and you got to come and your energy was up. Okay,
cool. Totally.
So what about, because your main thing is helping people speak. So how do people get booked with speaking gigs and what are some steps to help them get booked with speaking gigs?
Absolutely. So there's so many different ways, but I remember when I was starting out as a speaker and I took this speaker training by this very, you know, he's amazing. He's making millions of dollars speaking. I mean, awesome, awesome. But he did say something that kind of went, and it was another one of those, I can do that better kind of moments was he said, you'll have to send out 100 cold emails to get even one response back to get booked to speak. And I went, I hate, you know, cold emails or cold calling. That is so not my way. So I need to find a better way to do this. Mm-hmm. And so that just fired me up on like, okay, that's what's working for him, but it's not going to work for me. So what am I going to do? And so I really went into give mode, relationship building mode. And so that's how I've really built my speaking career and my business is through building relationships, giving first, you know, adding incredible value, looking at how can I serve? How can I go above and beyond? And so that's really key. Also, when I first got in, it's about getting your foot in the door. So it sometimes takes a little bit of time to build those relationships and to nurture that and to find the right niche and the right in. But once you get in, it's what I call the snowball effect, is that then you need to deliver incredible value. You need to absolutely shine on stage. You need to rock that event. And look for ways to give more value beyond just speaking. And then when you do that, then word of mouth spreads, right? So I actually ended up, I made a few cold calls in the beginning, and then the majority of my speaking, I would get another gig from every gig. So I would at least get one more speaking opportunity from the one I just did, at least. Mm-hmm. And then most of the time people would talk and I would get phone calls. So I was not calling people, pitching myself anymore. I was getting the phone calls with the invitations. And that's what you want to get to the point of, right? Yeah. So many invitations that you actually have to start turning people away. Mm-hmm. So that's the beauty of it. So key is relationships. I mean, obviously Google, you know, take some time each week and set it on your calendar to research and get clear on where you want to be speaking and what is the value that you bring. And then also another really great tip that not many people do is I saw myself as someone who wanted to add value beyond just speaking. And so right off the bat, without even knowing it, I was packaging offers. So I was getting booked not just for one speaking gig, I was getting them to book me over and over and over again. So I would go local or I would go within a couple hours where I could return. And I would say, here's one speaking gig price point, here's three, here's six. And obviously the six and the three are cheaper, you know, more value for their money. So that was one thing I did to get more gigs. Yeah. Because it's just the same to get one yes, yeah, right, for one gig as it is to get them to say yes to three or six. You got them.
Yeah, it's way better for them.
Totally.
So these were paid speaking gigs, and this was when you were in your education field.
Yes. So education and corporate, I was getting paid gigs. So yes, so that's unique for that audience for sure, because if you're doing event speaking, they've got the one event. But another thing that I did was I added value in other ways. Like I would package up lesson plans or lunch and learn outlines for people so that they could go and work on this, what I was teaching them beyond that 1 hour speaking gig, which I could show that's huge value. You know, this is a 97 or a 297 program. And for all 20 employees, you're going to get this. That's like a $10,000 value. And you're only going to need to pay me $5,000. Right. So it was, I was able to package things without being on the online world. When I got into the online world, I saw it can work very much the same. If you have a book or if you have a product or a program, how can you add more value to that conference, to those attendees, to that event? So coming in and saying, I would love to speak at your event and I'm going to give every single one of your attendees a book, or I'm going to offer them my products for free. I mean, that sends value through the roof to the event organizer that you're going above and beyond. Yeah. So those are some key things is like, yes, do your research, make sure that you know, and you don't just send a cold email, but build a relationship first. How can you add more value? How can you make yourself stand out more beyond just that 1 hour speaking gig? What can you do to give and add that value and really go above and beyond?
That is so crucial. So you're giving, you're adding value, you're seeing what they need, what would make it an easy yes for them, and you're developing your programs for them.
Yes.
Cool. And then, so what about as an entrepreneur, because I think most of the people, well, maybe they're in corporate too, but how do you, did you make offers and sell things from stage or when you were doing speaking, or did you, was it more paid to get paid to be a speaker, and then from there, yeah, what was your strategy or what do you recommend?
Yeah, so I haven't done any, well, actually, no, I shouldn't say I haven't done any. I've done once pay to speak, and it was a low investment, and so I was all in, and it was a perfect audience for me, but I haven't been a huge one on selling from the stage. I'm someone who comes, I show up, I connect before, during, and after with the audience. So I'm not just gonna go hide off in the green room or only show up for my speech. So I really am there and present, and I build relationships still at these events. And then again, deliver amazing value, get into the how, give them content, get them results. And then that speaks for itself. So I don't usually do a big pitch, even if I'm allowed. Just, I don't do a big pitch. I do an invitation, sure. But it really is about if I get them results in that 1 hour, they come and find me. They're going to look me up. I give them a great free gift. I also love to give a door prize of one of my products, programs, packages. And what that does is you get to win and I get to share everything about my package with you. And here's the difference. When I start to sell or when people feel like you're selling to me, they turn off.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. When I say someone in this audience is going to win.
Totally.
Everybody's ears are up. Yeah. And so what I do is I come at it from the giving and the service and the content, right? Amazing value. And then I give something away and they're like listening because they all want to win. So I get to go through my entire product or program, basically a pitch.
Yep.
Without it feeling like a pitch at all.
Yep.
And they're like, I want it, I want it, I want it. And like, everybody's like, I want this thing.
Totally.
Open them up. That's right. And then I draw and it's one person that wins. They're all so excited. But what does that do? They've already heard exactly what I do for people. They've just witnessed, you know, my work personally. I've connected with them. I've built a relationship with them. So I've made 10, 15,000 or more from even just a free 15-minute speaking gig where I shared my story. I gave them value in 15 minutes and I made $10,000, $15,000 over the year, yeah. Right? People would come in at different times, but it's still giving back. That one speaking gig is still giving back. So I'm all about speaking for free. It gets you in that high touch zone. You give amazing value and people connect with you on a level they never would if they just see your webinar or your videos or something online.
I agree with you 100%. I love that personal connection and people get to know you. I've seen this demonstrated many times. I've never done it your way, but it is very effective. And I know what they're doing because I'm in this business too. And I'm like, they are totally seedy. And then they get like, everyone is like, who was this? Everyone's like, yes, yes. So the audience super opened up. And then they get to be like generous. And then it's almost like dating, right? It's like, you're not going to just be like, hey, you want me now. Like you're literally teasing and holding back the sale. And it's so genius. I'm definitely a big fan for speaking for free. And so people could just go, they could Google, they could do their research, they could figure out where their ideal clients are hanging out. And then they can go and land speaking gigs, put them in a package if that's what they want to do. And then you can also go out of your state speaking, et cetera.
I think too, for entrepreneurs, a big thing that I always recommend is like, can you volunteer at the event? Get promoting the event. Like if you have an event that you want to speak at, I've always done that where I see it because that's what happens, right? An event pops up, they've already got their speaker lineup and you're like, I would love to speak at that event, but now it's kind of too late. But Here's the thing, you can also reach out and say, hey, I would love to be like a bonus or backup speaker if you need it, if you're still looking for speakers. So that's worked for me, but also just then saying, how can I share and promote this for you? Like no ask, right? Like, right? You don't even need to ask and just say, I'm going to share and promote this, or don't even ask, just start sharing and promoting it, tag them. They're going to take notice, making sure that, because if this is an event you want to speak at, it's obviously an event that you care about, that you resonate with and you agree with and you're aligned with. So why not share it with your audience? Right? So that's a great way to give. Another thing is attend the event. So if there's an event that you want to speak at, get there so that you have that warm connection, warm lead. You can meet people, you can build those relationships in person and live. And then when the next event is starting to roll out, usually, here's a big tip. Usually if it's a conference or an event that's like a big event that you want to speak at, it's going to be happening annually at least. And so they start looking for speakers within the 2 months or so after that event has ended. So if you see it coming, you attend it or you promote it, you know that, like, leave them alone during event time, right? Don't be reaching out at all. But then a month or 2 months after is when they're going to start looking for their next year's lineup. So that's when you can be saying, hey, I promoted this to my people. I loved it. I attended it. You know, what is that connection piece that you have with that person? And then here's the value I know I can bring to your audience. This is what's in it for your audience. This is what I can bring. Here's how I'm going to sweeten the deal. You know, I'm going to promote it. I'm going to bring 15 people. I'm going to give away my book. I'm going to give away my products or program. I would love to be able to know what's the next step. Are you open to having a conversation, right? So open up that door. And so that's, you know, again, give first. And who knows? You may not speak on that stage, but they may be so grateful, or someone else has seen you, or you connect with someone else that then refers you. So the ripple effect, when we give for the intention of giving and serving because we're grateful for the work that they're doing, and yes, we would love to speak on their stage one day or be connected to their work, but when we really set the intention to just give first, there's many things that happen that we wouldn't have even realized. So
true. I love the generosity and it really works.
Yes.
And just show up in exactly. So give. These are great. So tell us about, because I remember seeing one thing in one of your events and you had people doing some, tell us about these Facebook challenges. You kind of dropped like, oh, Facebook challenge. Like we all know what Facebook challenge. Tell us about what those are.
Ah, yes. So that's actually been the way that I have grown my business. When I only had 157, I believe, on my list, and I had my first 10K launch, it was through a Facebook challenge. You know, like Facebook challenges have been the way because they're super low tech. I'm not super techie. So they're super low tech. You just are going to either you create a group or you already have your existing Facebook group. Okay. And you obviously have a little landing page. You set the intention. You're going to give incredible value each day for 3 to 5 days. That's the optimal. I find 7 days is still okay, but anything longer than that, you lose people. So I usually go a 5-day challenge. Every day I have a video or maybe I do a webinar, but some kind of training, and keep it short. Keep it to the point. I usually have a PDF that goes along with it. And so I just did a challenge called Speak Your Way to the Top. So I'd have the video, the PDF, and then each day I have two usually challenges that they have to take action on. And if they take action during that day, they get entered for a prize, usually one of my favorite things. So it could be a coaching session with me plus like my favorite book or chocolate or whatever it is, something awesome and fun. So that is the challenge, where it's like each day they just show up, they get a little bit of training, a nice little PDF to do some work. They get some results in that day. They get a result. So you got to keep it simple and actionable. And then you do those 5 days. And usually what I say is do something that either leads them to wanting more, obviously, of your work, right? So it's like a precursor. It shows them the value in your work. So one of my trainings is the anatomy of a 10K speech. So they see how they can make $10,000 from even a free gig. So they see the calculations, they look at how am I going to make $10,000, and then guess what? I'm opening up my programs that are anywhere from $1,500 to, you know, $7,500, but they're seeing that I can make $10,000 or more from even just one gig. So doesn't it make sense, right? So I'm setting the stage for them to see the value in what I'm about to share with them.
Totally.
So that's what the challenge is. Plus, giving them like the 6 steps to a standing ovation-worthy speech is all about how to deliver an amazing speech, right? Rock the stage, but I don't give them the exact framework of the speech because that comes in center stage, the program.
Right.
So it's giving them amazing value that they can run with. And people have gotten standing ovation worthy speeches just from my free content and told me that, you know, I implemented what you taught me and I got my first standing ovation. Nice. So, you know, they get results, but then there's of course just those who are ready to sign up and work with you further.
Yeah. Well, I love that. So what you're saying is everything is backed up. Like this is a strategy. You're starting really with whatever your program you're selling, and then you're backing it up. Okay, well, how do I fill the program? So you're doing the Facebook challenge.
Absolutely.
And the other thing that I saw you do to fill your event, going back to our original questions, was you had all the people attending, they were doing like they were doing videos about why they should be at your event. Tell me how you did that, because I saw people tagging.
Yes, that
was good.
I actually forgot about that. So that was one of the moments of the freak out with only a couple weeks left, and I haven't, you know, I've only sold 5 tickets. And so I find that in those moments when we dip into our creativity, right? When we are at that moment of, okay, I gotta just get creative with this thing.
Yeah.
We take that time to just listen and get creative, the most genius ideas come up. So this was one of the things where I did the next top speaker challenge. So I said, if you can get, and I did it a couple different ways. One was they would get to speak on the stage, and I had some amazing online celebrity speakers coming to speak. So you get to speak on the stage beside, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. They're like, heck yeah. And the opportunity, I mean, my audience are speakers who are wanting to speak on a stage. And so I'm giving them a stage to speak on. So this got everybody fired up, and it was about like the most shares and comments. So it was about making this go viral. They needed to do a video. They needed to include the link. So that was part of it. But I did two. So one was the one with the most shares and comments, but then the second part of it, so two people got to speak on the stage. The second person was the person who got the most ticket sales.
Okay.
So there was just the organic share, viral sharing, which I found did result in some ticket sales, but not as many. Okay. But what it did do is got people taking notice.
Right.
It got it out there so that the next time, I do believe that so many people have been hearing the buzz of Shine Live, where they're like, when I open the doors the next year, it was much easier to fill. So that's, that was like the buzz builder. But also then I did that second where you'll also get to speak on stage. I will coach you. I will help you write your speech and your story, right? So amazing value. And for the person who gets the most tickets sold as well. So.
Okay. So there was, so the speak on the stage, and there were two contests. One was to speak on the stage and the other one was you would coach or train them and then they'd speak. So you really had, were there three spots for speaking?
So there was two spots. So it was just the, you know, the one that got the most shares. But then I saw that wasn't getting the kind of results I wanted in sales, right? It was getting lots of visibility. So I added on this second contest that was, okay, now we're taking this, whoever actually gets the most sales, brings the most friends to this amazing event that you're already attending, then you could get the chance to win that spot on stage and work with me as well.
I love that. You got to get creative for sure.
Yes.
Very creative. I love it. Okay. So you did that. And then, how many speakers did you have then?
So the first time I had less, I had about 8 and then I had the 2 winners. Yeah. So about 10 speakers total. This last round, this last year, I had more. That's a good question. I probably had 12 to 15 speakers. Plus I actually gave 3 spots away for people to speak on the stage through the contest. Awesome. So there were definitely more speakers this last round, which I would actually pair that back again.
Yeah.
So I found that then they had a little bit less time to go as deep as I wanted them to go.
Yeah.
So I would keep it to a smaller amount of other speakers.
Sorry to interrupt you. That's okay. So you got like, that is a lot for 3 days, 12 to 15 speakers. Did they do breakout sessions or were they main stage speakers?
Yeah. So everybody was in on the venue that I got. I like to get unique venues. So not just in a hotel conference room. So I had just this big heritage building. It was gorgeous, like with the brick and the wood and all that stuff. So there wasn't breakout rooms, but we did masterminds at lunchtime with each of the speakers. Okay. So they got more in-depth time. And actually I've heard back from speakers and attendees that they've booked tons of clients from this event. Like, it was amazing how many people are speaking on other people's stages, are hosting events together. Like, the connections are through the roof. And so that's really cool. So there was definitely, I gave a lot of time for connection and opportunities for the speakers to shine through these masterminds, but they did have, I think it was 8, it was like a TED style speech, like 18, 20 minutes on the stage.
Oh, wow. Okay. And one other thing I'll add for the listeners and viewers is that you also live in a place that is in an international destination. It's not like Vegas or Miami. You live in somewhere in Canada.
No one can even pronounce it. I live in Kelowna, BC, which is a little, 130,000 people. And so that's one of the things where people were coming from, Saudi Arabia, like all over the place to this itty bitty little place that they'd never heard of before. Mm-hmm. And so definitely some people have said, I think, you could definitely sell this event way easier if you had it like in Vancouver or Toronto or one of the bigger cities, which makes sense. So, that is something that I'm looking at in the future, but it's also, it is a beautiful destination. It's got the lakes and the cute boutiques and the beaches. So it's gorgeous here. So once people get here, it's amazing. Right. But I think it's a harder sell because it's more expensive to get here. They have to take extra flights to get here, etc. So
totally. Yeah. So just to show you that you can have an amazing event and it doesn't have to be in some destination unless you want it to be.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. Super. They'll come to you.
Right. They will. Okay. This has been so powerful. Now, I know you have an amazing free gift. You want to share with us what your free gift is?
Absolutely. It's 21 ways to get booked, even when you're just starting out with speaking. And it's all about the best tips and strategies that I have used personally and my clients have used to get booked, as paid gigs, free gigs in the entrepreneurial space, corporate space, all of them apply. And so they're my best tips and strategies that I've used to book over 1,000 gigs now, 800 in that 5 years, but I'm at about 1,000, just over 1,000. So come and yes, you can get it at chantaladams.com/get booked.
Cool. And we'll have it here on the speaker page as well.
Perfect.
So it'll be here. And all right. So I like to engage people when they're watching this to come back into the Facebook group and you're welcome to join our after party. What would be a fun engagement question we could invite everyone to do? based on the content. Maybe it would be actually thinking about where they want to speak. I don't know. What would be good? I would say
speak
and reach out.
Totally. So I was going to say that too, that yes, what's your dream list of, you know, events or where you want to be speaking? And then how are you going to nurture that? Like, how are you going to get building that relationship? So what's one way you're going to build a relationship with the key influencers? So dream list, gig, and then who's the influencer that you need to connect with, or how are you going to connect with that team, that event? And then that will get you on the road to seeing that there's so much opportunity out there. And then it's actually a lot easier than we make it out to be. And it really comes down to those powerful relationships.
Totally. Awesome. Dream list and who's the key influencer you need to get in contact with. This has been so helpful, Chantel. I've gotten a lot of juicy details, and I'll be asking you more details in the future, I'm sure.
Awesome.
So, yeah, thank you so much. And thank you everyone for watching and being here. And we'll see you in the after party. And remember the engagement challenge, dream list and the influencers who you need to contact. And I want to just finally add, side note, I really love your whole philosophy around generosity and giving and value, and just show up to give and share. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.